Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm so excited to be here to share a little bit of my experience. I've lost more than 200 pounds since I joined OA, and that's not the biggest change in my life. And I can't wait to tell you how that happened. So I joined OA. Well, first of all, I come from a long line of compulsive overeaters. My mom is a prescription drug addict. My dad is everybody's chief enabler, including my own. My brother is a violent, angry man and was a juvenile delinquent child. And the household was a hot mess. And I was explicitly taught that my job was to be okay and that eating a donut or a cupcake or whatever would make me feel okay. My dad would come home from work and find my mom cowering over me. And his reaction was always exactly the same. He would get her off of me and then he would ask her what happened. And if he thought that I had done something to warrant being in trouble, he would say, "Go to your room." And when he would come into my room, he would say, "Hey, listen, you know you can't do that. I know she's being harsh. It's nuts. I'm sorry, but you know you can't do that. So take a minute, calm down, wash your face. When you think you can be normal, come on out." If I had not done something to warrant being in trouble, he would, instead of sending me to my room, he would say, "Kelly, go to the car." And he would calm her down for a second and come out to the car and then drive around the block and stop at either the 7-Eleven or the grocery store bakery and buy me something to eat and give it to me and have him me hand him the trash so that he could discard it and take me home. And when we got home, it was explicitly stated, my job is to go straight to my room, get myself together. When I'm done, wash my face, come out, be normal. Don't come out until you can be nice and normal. So eat this and feel better. I really took control of my overeating, though, at the age of 16 when my first love committed suicide. I had just picked up 100 candy bars for a school fundraiser, and they were in my room the day that I found out that he was dead, and I ate them all within 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure it was less than that, but I really can't be sure. I had to scrounge up $100 to pay for the candy bars, and I really became a compulsive overeater in my own right, at that moment. So, a couple of days before that candy bar situation, I was 178 pounds. By the time I was 16, by the time I graduated from high school, I was 215 pounds. By the time I graduated from college, I was 278 pounds. I brought some photos to share. This is me, my senior year of high school. That's me at age 24. I was a high school teacher. I was probably about 300 pounds by then. That's me at age 28. I was definitely over 300 pounds by then. That's me at age 38. I probably would have been about 330 at that time. And that is me at age 45 in November of 2022. There were no pictures of me at my highest weight of 345 because I wouldn't let anybody take them. I spent more than 20 years between 300 and 330 pounds. I did lose a lot of weight a few times. I did it by starving myself and by abusing myself in the gym. And that is highly unsustainable. So eventually, when I made myself sick, I would start eating again. And I would regain whatever I had lost plus some in roughly half the time that it took me to lose it. I lost more than 100 pounds a couple of times and put it right back on. Then in 2022, my childhood best friend was coming home for Christmas, and he was really worried. He's in AA, and he was really worried that going to stay with his parents was going to trigger him and that he was going to have a relapse. So he's like, I'm reading the big book. And I said, what's the big book? And he said, oh, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I thought to myself, I bet there's something in there that could help me with food because I'm kind of crazy with food, right? So I finished the conversation with him and I logged into my library's app and found out that there was a 6 week wait on the big book. I put a hold on it. And then 2 days later, in the middle of the night, I woke up and my inner voice screamed at me and said, somebody already did that, girl. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. So I went to my meeting the next day, my first meeting the next day. It was December 26th of 2022. And I still had half of my birthday cake left. So real talk, I finished it before I started my food plan. I started my food plan on December 28th of 2022 and have been abstinent ever since. I have had food neutrality. I'll say it differently. The physical cravings were gone in 6 weeks, and within 4 months, I had real food neutrality. My life as a binge eater was pretty sad. I lived alone for most of it, and I didn't eat all day. I drank Coca-Cola at work like it was my job, but I didn't eat all day. And then when I got off of work, I would go to the drive-throughs or the gas stations or the delis, and I would pick up enough food for four or five people, and I would eat all of it all night long. And I did that every day for years and years and years. And then I started OA. So that's what it was like. What's it like now? So the first thing is I came into program no different at all than any of the other endeavors that I had done to lose weight, which is to say, like, just I'm fine, just get the weight off and everything will be fine. And I'm thrilled to report that it didn't take too long for the message to sink in. I brought a visual aid for this one because December 26th was my first meeting. And then on February 11th, the for today reading includes this gem. As a gifted AA speaker put it, you can tell normal, non-compulsive humans from compulsives because when the car won't start in the morning, normies go back in the house and call a mechanic. Compulsives go in and call suicide prevention. And oh boy, was that ever me? And I didn't really know it until February 11th of 2023 when I read that entry in For Today. For the first time in my life, I started to understand that what I had was an emotional dysregulation problem and that I had been using food to feel better my entire life, that I was using food as a drug. And so you can't abstain from food altogether. Oh my God, what do I do? And that's when I got serious. And the first thing I did was try to find a sponsor, and that didn't really go well. I couldn't find anybody for a long while. So I started a recovery circle, and that didn't go great either because it was me and four other women, and it was really hectic to try to get everybody together. But what did work out is me having continuing ongoing relationships with those four other women. And so, even though a circle didn't happen, I developed what I call step buddies. And at one time, it was five of them. I'm now down to three step buddies with whom I meet individually for 1 hour each week. We talk nitty gritty. Where are we in the step work? What's coming up in step 10? What's up? What's your whole deal? So I started the step buddy relationships. Then I found a sponsor, but she was a Christian and she was very sweet to try to help me, and it didn't work out. It hurt me worse than it helped me. Every time I try to talk to her, her answer was, I'll pray for you. And it became to the point where it was like all I could do not to say, well, does that help you? Because it doesn't help me. And finally, I said something almost exactly like that to one of my step buddies. And she said, well, Kelly, have you heard of secular OA? And I was like, no, what's that? Off to the Google I go. I find secularoa.org. I immediately start attending secular meetings and trolling for a sponsor. And in fact, I found my first secular sponsor in this very meeting, and she is here right now. She lovingly took me under her wing and sponsored me for over a year, I think. And she, by the way, is the reason that I can safely say that it is the step work that has changed my life, because the first thing she said to me when we spoke was, well, have you heard of, and the title of a book. And it is not a conference approved book, but it is a way to do the 12 steps without believing in an interventionist God. And as soon as I dove into that book, which my number is on the screen, feel free to text. I'll definitely be happy to share the title. As soon as I dove into that book, I was like, yes, like this is my jam. So I worked through the steps with my sponsor and my step buddies. And I have a really robust program right now that, I have real food neutrality. I have to tell you, nothing in my life is actually different. All of the same relationships are exactly, the people are exactly the same. Right? Like, I'm still estranged from my mother. I still don't have a relationship with my brother. I still have the same things that challenge me all are still existing, and life gets lifey and all of that kind of stuff. But I am so different that everything is different. The fact that I'm estranged from my mother, like, I have peace with that. That's the way it needs to be, because she's a sick person and she's damaging to me when I have a relationship with her. So, before I did the step work, I longed for what she could not give me. It isn't that she can give it to me now, that hasn't changed. She still can't give it to me. What I have now is peace in my heart about the fact that she can't. And that came from the step work. And so I want to spend the rest of my time, which I can see is just over like 7 minutes, kind of, I'm going to talk really briefly about food. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about like how to do the steps when you don't believe in God. So with food, I'm going to say that for me, like I need things to be black and white. And the blackest and whitest thing for me is that I don't need to eat all day. I only need my meals. And so for me, my definition of abstinence is that I only eat weighed, measured, plated, recorded meals at the table or a table. I don't eat anything in any other context, and that makes it black and white. So at the end of the day, like I don't have to wonder, like, did I eat too much? Because it's weighed and measured and plated and at the table. Did I eat while I was cooking? No, I never do that. I only eat off of the plate at the table. Period, black and white. And there are lots of examples of black and white for me, but that's with food. But that's like, I think the premise is that I need black and white. And for me, the shortcut is just like, I do not do these things as a matter of identity. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is kind of like how to work the steps as somebody who doesn't believe in God, or certainly not an interventionist God. And there are lots of books that you can pick for how to do that. And I picked one and I ran with it and it worked for me. But one of the things that I think that I do that I don't hear other people talk about is, first of all, I go to a daily meeting. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I have calculated I spend 15 hours a week in program activities between meetings, step buddies, sponsors, my sponsor, sponsees. The reading, the writing, and everything, it's 15 hours a week. I've been maintaining my weight for 6 months now. The last time I had to work on my weight, I had to work on gaining weight for the first time in my life. The last time I weighed what I weigh today, I was 11 years old. Anyway, the step work. The way that I approach, so I go to a meeting every day, and the vast majority of the people in my meeting are Christians. Like very few are agnostic, or from other traditions. So I hear all the time, turn to God, ask your higher power, ask your higher power. So in order to make that stuff work for me, what I do is I have in my back pocket multiple conceptions of a higher power that I can pull out and use for different purposes. Specifically for food, I don't need to worry about a God and a God's will because the laws of physics are quite clear. If you want to lose weight, you need to eat fewer calories than you burn. If you want to gain weight, you need to eat more calories than you burn. I don't need a higher power's will. The laws of nature and the laws of thermodynamics tell me what to eat based on what my goals are. So that's a conception of a higher power that I keep in my back pocket for all things food related. For all things like ethical or moral or whatever, I prefer an ethical framework over a moral framework. But for dilemmas where I don't know what the right thing to do is, everybody in my meeting would say, ask your higher power, ask your higher power, ask your higher power. My higher power doesn't have a voice or a will. So what am I supposed to do? Well, I have a conception of my higher power that is my best self. If I was the person that I wanted to be, if I went to bed tonight proud, with no shame, absolutely happy with the decision, what decision would that be? What would the best version of myself do here? And when people say pray, I literally sit down and I ask my best self that question. If there are people that talk about doing two-way prayers, well, my God, my higher power, whatever I believe in, isn't doing that either, but my best self can do that. I can use the tool of two-way prayer, appealing to my best self instead of a supernatural God. So those are two examples of very specific ways that I work the program, surrounded by the way, religious people. I devise my own conception of a higher power for as many different contexts as I can, keep them in my back pocket and pull them out to use when I need to. And when I get to a scenario where none of the conceptions that I have work, I simply build a new one. What do I do? How do I access whatever it is that these people who say, Jesus, take the wheel, whatever it is that they're doing that they've got? Like, what is it that I can do to get that? And that's how I work a secular program. I can see that I still have a minute and a half, but I think I said what I want to say. So thanks for letting me share.